Let's just take a moment to pray. Father, we come as we are. Some of us, I'm sure there's those here coming this morning in great joy, anticipation, excited, God, about what you're doing in this life. There's others who are coming with brokenness and need for healing. There's others who are coming and just feeling like there's nothing in their heart at the moment except dryness. But God, you want to meet us where we are. And Lord, we just sang, if we're burdened, we need to lift up our face. God, we want to see your face this morning. We want to look up with hope. We want to look up so we can hang on to you. We want to look up so that we can just grab hold of you, and Father, allow you to grab hold of us. Envelop us in your arms, Lord. Just grab us, hold us, lift us. Father, we're not alone. What an incredible promise. And we claim that this morning. God, we just want to claim that promise that we, as individuals, as a body, we're not alone. We are yours, Father. Live in us. Live through us. Lift those burdens for those who are walking heavy. Where there's dryness, God, pour your living water into their lives. And for all of us, God, just teach us. Cause us to grow. Minister to each heart this morning as we have need. And remind us, God, as we walk into this week, wherever we go, whatever job we're doing, wherever we head, whatever comes our way, I am not alone. We praise you for that, Father. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have a seat. Parents, kids head on out. Kids' Corner, bless you as you go. Teachers, thank you for your ministry. Thank you, worship team, for leading us. Again, the beauty of a worship time, just that sense, the beauty of knowing that God's been here. We've been able to commune, worship, bless, and be blessed. Mission and vision. Last week, we began a series of three messages, and Catherine will conclude this next Sunday on mission and vision, our mission statement, our vision as a church, as a body. This is week two, and we built a little bit of a foundation last week, and we want to build on that foundation, expand that a bit. And again, this morning, a privilege, we're going to hear a couple other voices as well this morning. A couple others will be sharing with us, which I appreciate. Do you remember our mission statement? Yes, please all nod and say yes, yes. Whew. Say it with us, would you? Or say it with me. Making Jesus real to people, inviting them to follow. That's what we have said is our mission as a church. Making Jesus real to people, inviting them to follow. And the question, of course, does it mesh with my mission, my individual mission statement? Do we as a church, as a group of believers, do we keep that in focus as we head into our Sunday morning worship time, as we gather here together? Does that become a part of my focus as I head out to the work tomorrow morning, or into school, or into Tim's, or community, or wherever this week will take us? Does my mission, does my church's mission, does my body's mission, does it guide me, does it lead? Because it should. Our mission, our personal mission statement, our church, our mission that we strive for as a church, as a body, as a believer, should be like a compass. You know, if I'm going to get into a boat, well, you're going to use GPS these days, but let's go back. Go back to that little old compass and say, I need a direction. So where do I go? Where am I lining up? Well, this is my mission. It becomes a guide. It's a direction. It's a direction-setting process. We have a goal to make Jesus real, to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and with all of our soul and with all of our mind, to love my neighbor as myself. Our mission, to make Jesus real by the way that we love, the way that we live. Quick review. Remember that definition of mission is, why do we exist? Why do I exist as an individual? Why do we exist as a church, as a body? That why exist could be, I think, expanded and focused on just, again, the three questions that we raised last week. The first of all, what do we do? Well, we saw that in that first statement, right? Our purpose, what do? We make Jesus real. That's our mission, to make Jesus real in our surroundings. And again, the question I would pose and say, did I make Jesus real this week? Did I this week do what Jesus would do if Jesus had been living here in Baden or in Kitchener or Wellesley or wherever we're from? Was I doing and living and doing what Jesus would have done if he was living in my house, in my experience? Because he is, isn't he? Who are we doing it for? Question number two. It's people. Make Jesus real to people. Who are those people? Well, I think some of the primary people that you should be making Jesus real to is your spouse, your kids, your family, those people that you spend a significant amount of time with. And they see you with the rough edges and the good parts, right? I mean, they see you as real. And are we making Jesus real in those moments, in those times together? Friends, each other, this body of believers here. But then it's also the stranger, the cashier at Sobeys, the guy, the gal who serves you at that restaurant when you're out for an evening meal. The stranger, the neighbor down the street that you haven't really met yet, you've waved to five times as you've driven by. How do we make Jesus real to those individuals? And thirdly, what do we do when we do what we do? How about that for a sentence? Say that 10 times fast. What do we do? What's the outworking of this? And it is that aspect again of inviting. Inviting into relationship with you, inviting into relationship with God, inviting to follow. So let's come back to making Jesus real. When Jesus came to this earth, he lived in a human body. And, you know, sometimes, again, this boggles my mind because Jesus was totally man, totally human, but he was also totally divine. He was totally God. God incarnate, the word that we use from Scripture. And yes, his primary purpose was to come, and we sang about this morning, his primary purpose was to come and redeem us, to pay that penalty for sin, to, in a sense, ransom us back, to buy us back from that pawn shop of sin, to redeem and restore, to redeem us back into that relationship. Luke 19, verse 10, and this is Jesus saying this. He says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost." Oh yeah, right. Sin, I was lost, I was out of relationship. Christ paid that penalty. That was his primary purpose. That was his goal. That was his mission. But he also had the mission to make God real. Think about that for a second. He wanted to reveal who God is to the people that he walked with and lived with. He wanted to make God real to you and I through the words of Scripture that describe his coming. He wanted to show the Father's heart of grace and love to us to make God real. And I love, there's a number of verses out of John 14 where Jesus is trying to help his disciples understand this. Because they're saying, I don't know, we don't know where you're going. We don't know who God is. How do we know God? And Jesus says these things. He says, if you really knew me, you would know the Father as well. Okay? If you know the Son, you know the Father. They're one. Anyone who has seen me, Jesus says, has seen the Father. Thirdly, he says, the words I say are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Do you get the comparison? Do you see where we're going here? Jesus came to show us a Father. He came to show us God, to show us what God is like, to show us God's heart, to make God real. And God's call, God's mission for you and I is to make Jesus real, to show to the world, the people that we live with, the face, the character, the heart of Jesus. So Jesus says to you and me, come, follow. Follow me as I followed God in obedience. Look into the scripture and see the way I lived, Jesus says, serving in daily life, touching lives, healing, caring, loving, interacting with people in real, practical, hands-on kind of ways. Show others the heart of Jesus by the way that you love. And I admit there's times when I read some of Paul's writings, he drives me crazy. Because he's a, you know, there's things that he says that's going, oh, Paul, how could you say that? I could never say that. And Philippians 4:9 are one of those verses that he says, oh, and you kind of just, there's a shudder in me for a moment when I read this because I'm going, I couldn't say this. Listen to what Paul says. First of all, he's, you know, these whatevers, right? Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me. Do you get that? Whatever. Whatever you've heard from me, whatever you've seen in me, whatever you have learned, put it into practice. Why? The God of peace will be with you if you do it. I'm going, oh, Paul. In other words, Paul's saying, follow me as I follow Christ. Watch me, because when you watch me, you'll see Jesus. Listen to me, because when you listen to me, Paul says, you'll see it, you'll hear Jesus. Watch me, because I'm making Jesus real. And I'm going, ugh, Paul, I don't know if I can't stand up in front of this body of believers and say, make that declaration this morning. Because there's sometimes I say, don't watch me. That attitude was ugly. And I don't want you to see that. And yet that's God's call to me. It's God's call to each one of you as a parent, as a spouse, as a co-worker. God's saying, will you declare that you are Jesus today? Because that's what we should be doing. Make Jesus real. But let's get practical for a moment. As you know, Wazir and Laura have spent too many of the last weeks in London Hospital. Their son, their baby son, Nico, in ICU for a time, walking through as a family through some very, very difficult times. And yet, in the midst of that, experiencing incredible grace, God's presence, his healing. And I've asked them this morning to come and share for a couple minutes. And I know they could share for an hour, because Wazir did almost that long the other night. No, I'm kidding. It was wonderful. It was fantastic. We just appreciated that at men's group so much the other night. But I've come and asked him to say, in this time, in this process of spending time in hospital with Nico, come on over, how did the church, how did you, how did other believers, how did Jesus become real in that time? So, thank you, folks.
Good morning, everyone. Laura and I have been wanting to share with you guys for a while, and we've had the perfect opportunity with the current message that Claire's delivering this past couple weeks, and we felt that it fit perfectly in with our journey as well. Making Jesus real to people, inviting them to follow. August 20th, 2016, this is the day that has embedded a vivid memory into our family's memory thoughts. Our son, Nico, was admitted to the Stratford General Hospital, diagnosed with bacterial meningitis. For most of you that might not know what bacterial meningitis is, it's pretty serious. It's a bacteria that enters the bloodstream and travels through the brain and the spinal cord. Yeah, that's a lot to take in. That's how we felt exactly on the day that I was diagnosed. But with that said, immediately following the diagnosis, we were then told by the pediatricians that Nico will need to be transferred to Victoria Children's Hospital for treatment by doctors who are specialists in treating meningitis specifically. So that was pretty overwhelming and a sight to see, especially knowing that, you know, we left a little bit earlier. And on our way traveling there, we saw the ambulance with all lights and blazing, you know, fast speeds that they were traveling with. Kind of hit us pretty hard because we didn't know what we were dealing with at that point, if, you know, what's to come. After Nico was admitted to Victoria Children's Hospital, Laura and I were completely in shock. We were overwhelmed with anxiety and not knowing what will happen next. That's where our Heavenly Father heard our calling for guidance and healing. Thinking about our family, especially our daughter Claire, work, understanding how we will make this all work and come together to you know, stay close to our son being away from home. Claire's separation from us was a big challenge, especially for Laura. Claire was able to stay with us on weekends, but even that was sometimes too much for her, as she needs her own familiar environments and her surroundings, as any two-year-old would require at that age. Even though she did come or become quite familiar with the Ronald McDonald House staff, pediatrician staff at the hospital, God blessed her with her family and friends to care and love for her during this time of absence.
Jesus certainly was real to us in providing our family with a room at the Ronald McDonald House. Oh. within hours of Nico being admitted to the critical care unit, we knew we were taken care of. And this was real and serious. The Ronald McDonald House took us in right away. And the staff and volunteers there, we called them God's servants. Because they gave us just the love and the support that we needed. Like we would walk in and the hugs we would get from complete strangers was incredible. We never had to worry about anything. Meals were provided for us. We had beds to sleep in. We never had to pay for parking. We never had to worry about our laundry. There was a playroom. It was literally our home away from home. Except we shared it with about 25 other families that were going through the same thing that we were going through. And they shortly became part of our family as well. We would come back, you know, from our day and they would ask us how we were. And then the volunteers that cooked these meals, they would accept us with open arms as well.
And with that being away and we miss this church not being here, we receive a lot of love and support from our church body, our family, friends, providing rest assurance words of scripture, which lifted us and gave us that strength that we need to get through this. We felt like we were constantly facing challenges when the doctors would use words that we didn't understand, or they would tell us that Nico needed an MRI or ultrasound or more blood work when we weren't really informed of the reasoning. We spent a lot of time sitting and waiting and sitting and praying together, listening to what God wanted us to hear.
2 Corinthians 5:7, it says, "We live by faith, not by sight." There were times when we were given results that were really hard to digest. This verse reminded us that some things seemed impossible. Doctors may be telling us certain outcomes we didn't want to hear. But choose to live by faith is what we have in our healing God, who is far greater than the medical fields can ever tell us. The morning that Nico was admitted to the hospital, There was a number of you that sent texts and emails and that quoted this song, Never Once Did We Ever Walk Alone, that was sung that morning while Nika was being admitted. And it was evident that we never did walk alone. It was real, the journey that God is there with us. There were days that were so physically exhausting, I couldn't even cry anymore. And it was, yeah, evident that, you know, he was our protector and our healer. From day one to day 23, when that pediatrician walked in the room and she couldn't even get the words out because she started crying before she said anything, that we were going home. It was pretty great how she just grabbed me and hugged me. And she also said that his blood clot, there's nothing there, and I don't have to go home and giving... They thought I'd have to give him injections for 12 weeks with his blood clot, and that was completely cleared. And that was just a real sign that God is really taking care of him and healing him.
So, yeah, like Lyra said, 23 days later, to be exact, that's how long we were in the hospital, especially Laura away from home, not being under our roof. However, that's what the Ronald McDonald House is there for, and you never really realize these things, that these charities exist, until you first and get to experience something like this, and man, it's just a blessing. So Nico, I don't know if many of you know what the meaning of Nico is, but it's victory of the people, and that's truly how we felt. God provided for us, and we were able to bring Nico home free of any illnesses, disease, and we just continue to pray that that's the case. So in closing, what I want to say is just leave you with some words of wisdom. I don't know. You know, God sometimes, you find yourself looking up to God when you're experiencing times of hardship, or even when, in good times, you find yourself turning to God. But in our situation, we experienced this both simultaneously, birth of our son, and then after that, going through the trauma and pain that we went through. But through this whole time, he was there walking with us. There was one vision that kind of stayed in my head. It was from Nagisti one week. She shared here at the church that an eagle was looking over us and anointing us. And that's exactly what we felt happened to Nico in the hospital. Just healed his body and made him pure again. And we thank you guys for all your prayers and support. And thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Thank you. Bless you. Thank you. Making Jesus real. Thank you, guys, so much. And I know their deep appreciation for your prayers, your texts, your emails, all of those words, the encouragement. Family, I know the incredible amount of time that some of you spent caring for Claire and others as well. That challenged to Jesus, the question from the Pharisee, the teacher, what's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God, Jesus said. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Make Jesus real. Make me real. Make God real through your love. Obedience, love. If we read portions of 1 John, it talks about again that representing Christ through our love, through our obedience to the Father. Yesterday, Catherine and I had the privilege of giving some help to a lady, Lisa. Some of you know Lisa from the gathering here. She's been with us for a couple, number of months, probably a year plus. She's moved to Cambridge. And as Catherine was leaving, and I had gone earlier, left earlier the house down in Cambridge, she said to Catherine, "You have reminded me that there are people that care." And that's what God calls us to. Inviting people into relationship, making Jesus real. And I've asked Natasha to share yet this morning. As you know, we have a number of small groups that meet here at the church. Men's group, there's a ladies group, there's a young adults group, and Monday night, another ladies group is starting up. I would encourage you, by the way, just to consider being a part of that. Those are key parts of what it means to live as a body. But this group of young adults, they meet every Tuesday night. 1 week they meet for study, scripture, challenge, fellowship, etc. The other week they spend here in the kitchen at Chandler Mowat, serving, ministering. And again, I asked Natasha if she would just share, what does it mean out of that structure? Why would a group do this? And what does it mean to make Jesus real, to show love in that kind of a setting? So Natasha, come and share. Oh, sorry. My apologies.
Good morning. Oh, is this on? Okay. So to me, making Jesus real simply means demonstrating love in practical ways. And a great example of that is the Build a Lunch program that I've been blessed to be a part of. So a few years ago, our small group was approached with a need, and we were told that there are children here in the Chandler Mowat Community Center who are coming to school with only a bag of chips for lunch or some Skittles or with no lunch at all. And so we were asked if we could step in and help bridge this gap. So we decided to alternate between our Bible study on 1 week and a night of service on the other week. And so basically what that consists of is cutting vegetables and making pizzas, and then those lunches are distributed on Wednesday morning. And I think God is using this ministry in a variety of ways. First of all, I think he's making himself real here in the community. Catherine and others who are present on Wednesday morning interacting with the kids have shared stories of how this has been a blessing to them and to their parents. And I think God is also using this ministry to make himself more real in the hearts of us, the volunteers. Christ gave us an example of service. He was out in the community serving people, feeding people, healing people, and he invites us to do the same. And the second part of our mission statement is inviting others to follow. And I think that is probably the more challenging part. But I think that these acts of love and acts of service pave the way for that. And I invite you to continue praying for Build a Lunch and other programs that we have here going on at the gathering. And just pray for ways that we would make Jesus real to people and that our example would invite others to follow.
Thank you. Yeah, give her a hand. Yes, thank you. Again, real and very practical ways. You know, I think some people would say cutting vegetables. That doesn't sound very much like making Jesus real, unless you're cutting the vegetables into faces of Jesus or something. But no, I'm not trying to be facetious. It's like, but that's making Jesus real by saying, I will serve. I will get down and dirty and in the practical ways. Because in some ways, it's a whole lot safer to say, we'll just meet every week and study and look in Scripture and dig and challenge. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's healthy, growing fellowship. But say, I'm going to do something and make it practical. We're going to get out there. We're going to do. We're going to live. We're going to serve as well. Thank you, Natasha and Wazir and Laura. Appreciate both of you sharing, all of you sharing. As Jesus then was about to leave the earth, I think he gave us one final sort of mission statement. Mission challenge. Final instructions, pretty clear message. He says, therefore go. Follow me, but go. Go make disciples in your family, at your school, in the office, at the gym, at Tim's, the construction site, wherever it is you are, go and make disciples. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, if they respond to that relationship with Christ, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Go, follow, make disciples. And I believe those same instructions fit today. Make Jesus real to people. Invite them to follow. Invite them to come into relationship with you. And out of that relationship with you, invite them to come into a relationship with our Heavenly Father. And I love the promise that he has at the end of that verse. You are not alone. He didn't say it quite that way. He says, and behold, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. And we sang it this morning. I am not alone. Yeah, that's God. That's Jesus. That's what you promised. And we're going to walk with that kind of faith and that kind of confidence. Go, follow, make disciples, make Jesus real wherever you are this week, whatever situation, and some of them will be tough, and some will be joy-filled. Make Jesus real. Worship team, come.